And welcome back to Genspired, the podcast. I am your host, Jennifer Batog. This is episode 15 from season one, and it feels like a natural stopping point. So this will be the season finale. Woo! Not that it really means anything because I'm making this up as I go along here, but this episode is coming to you in December, near the end of the year, so it feels natural to end my inaugural season with not only episode 15, but with this particular episode. I've titled it Love Letter, and for good reason. But before I dive in, though, a reminder to keep in mind that I'm not a medical professional nor a licensed therapist. I am, however, a spiritual being having a human experience run along with you. Please trust and use your own judgment, discernment, and intuition. My intention for these episodes is that they will reach a collective of people meant to find them. Alrighty, let's get into it. Let's get Genspired. December has that magical feeling to it, right? Whether you're a super fan of the holidays, if you celebrate, of course, or not, it's just a special time of year, if you allow it. Some people get all tangled up in the shopping and running around and being here and there and going everywhere and seeing people and holiday parties that they can actually miss the magic if they forget to take their mindful approach to each day and the task at hand at Christmas time. I've always been lukewarm about the holidays, probably because I've been single for pretty much all of them. There's only been maybe one or two times that I had a partner during this time of year. So for me, while I am someone who always tries to approach each day with magic and inspiration, in December's past, I've let my grouchiness kind of take over. In some cases, though, I was downright miserable, which in retrospect was how I was feeling at the time. So I can't be upset with myself because at that time, that's how I felt. This year, I've decided to take a quite different approach. Am I still single? Yes, but that's okay. I've decided to romanticize my life anyway. I recently put up my Christmas tree, decorated the house a little bit, even put some lights up outside. While I have no idea if anyone will see it or come over and visit, it doesn't matter. I see it and I experience it. I made hot chocolate for myself a few nights ago and watched Love Actually. Cozy on the couch with the dog. Next weekend, I'm heading to a holiday market. Romanticizing my own life, creating my own magic. And it's not just going to be for the month of December. I'm really going to try and mindfully approach my life with magical main character energy. You see, none of us need anyone to make our lives special. We have that ability to do that all on our own. And when we do it with love and purpose, the universe will match that energy and send the right people towards you. It's the natural law of the universe. Whatever you put out comes right back to you. By me being my main character in my own Hallmark holiday movie, God, I hate those movies, the universe will recognize the frequency and send me some matching energy in the forms of people, opportunities, signs, and lovely synchronicities. And yes, maybe even romantic love. Throughout my spiritual journey over the past few years, I've really seen and been a part of this law of attraction firsthand. When you raise your vibration, the universe meets you at that vibration and celebrates you. I've been sent opportunities, signs, and some unbelievable messages at this higher frequency. On the other hand, though, it also removes people, places, and opportunities that no longer match the frequency. Learning to let them naturally fall away takes a little getting used to, but I've grown to love how I've been able to alchemize everything. Looking back, I barely recognize the person and the frequency I used to vibe with. I'm mentioning all of this because at this new frequency, part of what I've discovered about myself is my ability to connect to people through both my written and my spoken word. I'm putting more focus on this gift as I continue to move through my life. And in saying that, have welcomed in a form of beautiful communication through love letters. And that's what I want to share with you all today. I want to talk about the love letter. Even saying those two words together makes my soul happy. When you look up the formal definition of a love letter, this is what you'll get. A letter expressing romantic love for the recipient. Short, sweet, and accurate, right? But you could also shorten it even more and remove the word romantic and go with a letter expressing love for the recipient. Both definitions work, and in this episode, both are what I want to elaborate on. I was born in the late 70s, long before the internet. So learning to write and print was part of our learning in school. And for me, it absolutely became something I really loved doing. I doodled on my notebooks, but I would also find myself writing down random thoughts I'd have throughout the day. Then my mom bought me my first journal, and my writing kind of had a happy place to sit and breathe. None of it had to make sense to anyone but me. And that still rings true today. Whether you are someone who journals or not, whatever you put in that notebook or diary doesn't have to make sense to anyone but you. You are the main character. Fast forward, and now we have keyboards and monitors, and no one picks up a pen anymore. And that makes me sad. There's parts of our souls that still long for the simplicity of things, the stillness of things, the quiet reflection of things. Writing with a pen or a pencil and putting words on an actual piece of paper is one of those things I think more people need to do. In fact, I think they're yearning to do it. I was over at my parents' place a little while ago, and my mom was going through some old photo albums when I walked in the door. I sat with her for a few minutes and walked down memory lane with her and made faces at some of the pics she had of me from my childhood. Then she turned to me and said, "Remember these?" I looked over, and she had a small shoebox opened, and on top of a pile of more photos were a bunch of handwritten letters. They were from a boy at school, written to me. I remembered them immediately and said, "Wow, you kept these? Why?" She just kind of smiled and said, "I don't know why, actually. I just thought they were sweet and you'd want to see them again someday." Turns out she was right. She placed a bunch of folded up letters in my hand and left the room for a minute. As I looked down at the faded blue and pink and green and red ink, I remembered who they were from. They were from a boy in my class in junior high school who had a big crush on me. At the time, I didn't, of course, realize how deep a crush could be. That's something, unfortunately, we learn later in life. I remember he used to write his feelings down on these pieces of paper and then give them to me and then run away. Or I'd find one in my locker, or under my desk chair, or he'd have someone else give it to me. Here was this boy, with all of these feelings, mustering up the courage to tell me how he feels about me in different color ink spread all over numerous pages. I remember back then I was actually embarrassed at the letters, that I'd read them in secret because the kids in class teased me about them, saying to me, "Oh, look at you carrying around your husband's love letters. Better not kiss and tell," or some shit like that. Thinking about it, I wished I were braver to be able to just hold my own and be flattered instead of embarrassed. But how I felt then was part of my journey, and I was still learning my valuable earth school lessons. As a full-grown adult, I sat and read through them, with tears streaming down my face. While the spelling wasn't great and the grammar was all over the place, the feelings are what jumped off the page. His true and deep down feelings were staring right at me. He had real feelings for me, so real he felt compelled to write them down. A beautiful art form that has since shifted to text messages, shorthand, emojis and symbols that we're supposed to try and not read or read into or decode or whatever. These love letters came from a teenage boy's heart. And what makes me sad is I wish I had done better by him at the time and been more open to the messages instead of feeling embarrassed by them. Over the course of junior high school, he wrote me many letters. They would show up in bursts of a bunch of them at the same time, and then none for a little while, and then randomly when I least expected it. I didn't reciprocate this boy's feelings, though. But what I do love about rereading those letters is that everything he said to me at the time was and still is true. He told me things that I couldn't tell myself. He told me I was pretty and smart and funny and kind, and that I smelled like a summer day at the beach. He told me he liked how I wore my hair on a certain day, or that the color of my sweater looked pretty on me, or that he was happy I was back at school after being out sick one day. From a distance, this boy saw me, like actually saw me, maybe even more clearly than I saw myself. Sitting on my mom's bed reading these letters, I just let the tears and the emotions take over, kind of like they did when I first sat down to write this episode. I was walking around the world, probably all in my head, because I did a lot of that as a kid, thinking I wasn't good enough or smart enough, because if you've been following along since the beginning, was bullied by a lot of kids in my class, so my self-esteem was really low. But from across a classroom, this boy saw something in me and wrote me many, many love letters. And to my mom, she felt compelled to keep them because perhaps deep down, she knew I need them someday. She was right. I needed those letters on that day. I have no idea where that guy is on this earth right now, but I want him to know that I appreciate the kindness and the effort, more so now than I let it show at the time. So thank you, my friend, for seeing me and for having the courage to share that with me. Reading those letters happened a few months ago, but the thought really didn't leave me. I started to long for the time of love letters, when men used to write letters back home to their wives during war times, and how those pieces of paper tied with string to keep them intact traveled through war times, war zones, time zones, weather zones to reach someone they love. In all the chaos of war, a man loved a woman so much, he found shelter and a pen and a piece of paper and put his thoughts onto that paper and sent that love across the world to her. I imagine how she felt getting the letter and sitting down and reading it and rereading it over and over and over again just to be close to him. And I want that for us now, truly. We are in a world right now where you can't get anyone to barely give you any kind of effort whatsoever. It's so sad. You send off a text and get a K as a reply or a stupid thumbs up like, wow, thanks for all that effort. Thanks for thinking so little of me to send me that bullshit reply. But heck, I guess we're supposed to be grateful for even the slightest reply because lots of people don't reply. They leave you on read, they ghost, or wait a stupid amount of time to send you a lame reply that actually makes it worse than had you not replied at all. The time and effort for each other is gone. We've lost it. As a society, we've lost the ability to give a shit about other people and their feelings. No one takes time for anyone anymore. Professionally, personally, or romantically, the correspondence is shit. And that actually makes me sad. Gone are the days of sitting down, putting pen to paper, and sharing your deep thoughts with someone. Hell, even Christmas cards, again, for those that celebrate Christmas and send them out, don't even have any effort. They take a generic box of cards, open it, and sign their name. No message, no greeting, just here. Here is a card from a box of 100 that I sent out to people and I put my name in it. Read this generic greeting because those are my thoughts about you and the 100 other people I send cards to. Like, really? Don't send them out if you're going to do that. Don't treat greeting card season as a task on your Christmas checklist. If you're going to send them, put in some fucking effort. Otherwise, don't bother. It's actually worse when you approach it the other way. Perhaps I feel this way because I am a Gen Xer. I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily entirely true. I think a lot of people of all ages have souls that yearn for something deeper and more meaningful. These quick, fast, generic, transactional interactions and communication, it just feels so icky to me. I hate it. When I sit down to write an email for my business or personal or whatever, I put time and effort into that connection because it's important to me that the recipient feels something from those words. Something coming from our interaction. Look, I get it. Everyone is busy and running a million miles an hour, but honestly, I call bullshit on that sometimes. Even busy people can be thoughtful and kind in a correspondence. The thing is that a lot of people just don't care, and that's become abundantly clear to me in the past couple of years. Running my own business, I've learned through many, many interactions that there are a number of people who have crossed my path that just don't give two shits about me or my approach to work. And guess what? Those people aren't aligned, so they have been quietly removed by the universe. No muss, no fuss, just quietly moving along. The ones I do vibe with do give a shit, and I can see it and feel it in the way they communicate with me and I with them. The way they email or text me. They care about the work and the services I provide, so those are my people. And the same can be said for you too. Pay attention to how someone interacts with you in the written word. There's a lot that is said and not said in those messages. Stop for a minute, and you'll see patterns emerge, and perhaps even it'll help you see how maybe you could do better in your written word to them. I've been professionally ghosted a few times this year. Shit happens. And the old me would have tried to turn myself inside out to figure out why, and oh my God, and how, and maybe I should follow up, or maybe I should do this or that, or send another email. Fuck that. Nope. No more chasing, and no more trying to validate. Not worth it. If you can't be bothered to even answer, or it's so easy to hide behind your keyboard and type me something, or hide behind your phone and text me something, I quite literally have nothing for you. That's growth, people. That growth for me has been monumental. I mean monumental in helping me grow and flourish this year. As I reflected on what I wanted to close off season one of this podcast, the words love letter came to me one night while I was trying to sleep. I immediately grabbed my journal, wrote those letters down, and then rolled over. A few days later, I sat down with a cup of coffee to go through the journal, and love letter jumped off the page. That's the one, I said. That's how we're going to end season one, with a love letter. If I rewind a bit here again, my mom isn't the only one who keeps love letters. I have a little secret stash of my own, but my love letters are the ones I write to myself, to versions of myself that need to heal or need to be heard. I write letters to my teenage self, my 20-year-old self, my 30-year-old self, and even my future self. I tell her all the reasons why I'm proud of her. I share with her the fears and the anxieties we've felt and been through. I tell her to be kind to herself, to forgive herself, to be softer with herself. I make sure she knows that she is heard, she is seen, and she is understood. I lovingly share with her that she's forgiven, that she's not a bad person, that just because she may have handled something poorly doesn't make her unworthy or not enough. I write to her because she needs to hear it. She needs to be loved and understood in that moment. She needs to feel safe and secure and wanted and needed and assured. She needs to feel all the things she may not have felt or been able to at the time. I send love letters to myself because I value the relationship I have with every single version of me, and I encourage you to do the same thing. Sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and write a love letter to yourself. You will be amazed at what shows up on the page. Then you can tuck it away and never look at it again, or bring it out whenever you feel called. You can also light it on fire and burn away all of those thoughts and feelings. You can quite literally do whatever you want. Shit, put it in an envelope and mail it back to yourself. It's your letter. This is the letter that's full of love for yourself. So going back to those definitions earlier, in what I shared in the opening, a letter expressing love for the recipient, love for yourself. Turning the page, see what I did there? Anyone who knows me personally has probably heard me talk about how I long for a romantic love that is deeply rooted in courtship and romantic gestures and has that old school kind of love feeling. The kind of love that came with making mixtapes or opening car doors, making out at drive-in movies, or sideline football game glances with your crush. That kind of love. It's also the kind of love that came with romantic love letters, where someone takes the time to sit down and mindfully put pen to paper and share their thoughts about you. The kind that make you squeeze the letter tightly to your chest after you read it and then sit right back down and read it again just in case you missed something the first time. The rush of going to the mailbox and finding an envelope with your name on it, that's not a utility bill, but a letter from someone who loves you. I plan on doing this for my husband. He'll never know it, but there will be days he checks the mail, even as we live together, and he'll find a love letter written to him from me in ink, mailed right back to our own home. I want him to feel the paper in his hands, to sit down and read how I feel about him in my own words, staring back at him in ink. Then I want to playfully sign off the letter with things like, "Your girl, Jennifer, with a heart over the eye." Cheesy? Absolutely. Romantic? Most definitely. I will be the kind of wife that leaves him love letters in his lunchbox. I will be the kind of partner that writes him love messages on our bathroom mirror in my favorite lipstick. Because remember, we romanticize our own lives, and in turn, this has the ability to romanticize someone else's in our orbit in return. This, of course, is a prime example of that original love letter definition I gave you at the beginning. A letter expressing romantic love for the recipient. He will always be romanticized in our relationship. I will make sure of that. Even if you think you're a bad writer or the words won't flow out well or flow well together, none of that matters. What matters is the effort and the time. The recipient of that letter will feel that coming off the page, I promise you. There is definitely someone in your life right now that could use a love letter. You know there is. Even if it's a parent or a sibling or your best friend. Maybe, just maybe, think about sending them one. Even if it's short and sweet, the effort and the sentiment behind it is immeasurable. It's old school, and it's so magical. If it comes from your heart and the intention is pure love, romantic or not, then you've nailed it. As we head into the rest of December, another little nugget I'll share with you is that if you are unsure of what to get someone as a gift, gift them a journal. Even if you have no idea if they'll ever use it, gift them one anyway. Even the busiest of people or the most cynical, when presented with a gift that offers them a chance to express themselves creatively through the written word, will be appreciated. Journals or diaries are my absolute favorite magical little things. I love shopping for them. I love picking them out and flipping through them. There's travel journals, daily journals, meditation journals, crystal journals, blank page journals, so many options. Go pick one out for yourself and someone you love this holiday. It's a special little gift. And if you feel called, write your first love letter. Write a letter to the teacher that inspired you as a kid, to your coach, to your mom, to your grandfather, to your wife, to your children, to yourself. Even if you never send it to them, write it. Pour words into those people that come from deep within. It's a beautiful, healing way to express yourself, and you'll be surprised at how easily the words come out of you in that moment. Now, in the spirit of sharing, here is a little snippet of my most recent love letter to myself. It's written from a future version of me. I'm so proud of you. Look at what you've done. Look at where you are. Look at where you were. You have transformed in the most beautiful and meaningful way possible. You've alchemized everything, literally everything. The way you face people and situations and your feelings now are unrecognizable from even 2 years ago. You are love, you are light, and you are so deserving of everything that is headed your way. You're going to fall in love soon with a man who will be mesmerized by you, captivated by you, and completely drawn to you. You will support him. He will lead your relationship and you will nurture it. He will allow you to soften so that more of your gifts come back to you. You will sleep better next to him. He will watch you shine. You will watch him soar. Together, you will walk side by side and create the most beautiful, magical life, well beyond what you can even dream of right now. Know it. Know all of this to be true, for you are love and you are light, and the world will see it. And with that, allow me to say, this podcast has been my love letter to you all. I'm beyond grateful for you, for your time and attention, for your comments, for your support, and your love. Pouring these words out to you over the past 15 episodes has been a privilege, and I'm honored you choose to spend your time with me. Thank you for allowing me to be who I am, to show up for myself in an authentic way and share my journey with you. You have no idea how much it means to me. The most beautiful and meaningful relationship we will ever have is the one we have with ourselves. So pour into yourself with love and kindness and watch the universe rise up to meet you. As always, if you've been Genspired, please leave a comment below. I'd love to hear from you.